table's filthy.
Your table's filthy. Where could this one filthy from?
I don't know. Clean your table.
You clean my table.
No.
Okay. Well, that didn't work. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Bro podcast for October 7th, 2016. All right. Can't believe October. Can't believe 2016. All these dates are just so fascinating to me. It's Mike Minotti joined by my brother Azga.
Hello.
Passage of time, man. What a thing. What a trip.
What a trip.
Why do we both want to say what a trip?
No.
It must have been some sort of... All right. So, yeah, welcome to the show. Hey, go try it. Indians are...
Woo! 1-0. What up?
Yeah. So that's good. We're getting there at that. But yeah, today we're actually talking about PlayStation 1 games, that, like, kind of going through some of our favorites. This is kind of brought on by my recent retro dippings and, Crash Bandicoot, of all things, so, but yeah, we'll get, and then, you know, we're also going to talk about, Forza a little bit in this special zone, because you've been playing Forza. I've been playing the demo, so a couple things to say about it. It's a nice demo, really. It's a really long demo. It's almost so nice, like, I kind of wonder if I really need...
Yeah, like I said, that was a potential problem with that demo.
It's like, I've got so much shit, I haven't finished this. But let's get to PlayStation 1. So yeah, so I really set up my retro gaming station, and a lot of it was really, so far, about playing old NES, SNES, and Genesis games. But when Crash Bandicoot, you know how you can play it in Uncharted 4?
Yeah.
For a little bit, which was super neat. It was super fun, but you know... It kind of made me think, I played those games when they came out, but I never really, like, played them a lot. I never beat any of them, you know?
Right. I think we had one, maybe two.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know what it was. At the time, we didn't play PlayStation 1 games all that often, really.
Yeah, we were talking about this. We were trying to think of the list of PS1 games we've actually beaten, and it was a very short list.
Right. Especially, well, for me, like, I've beaten a lot of them after the fact.
Right.
It's when I beat them.
Back in the day.
Right. I didn't, yeah, exactly. So... But, you know, so I went to that store that sells all this old stuff. I have my old PlayStation 1, of all things, which is cool. But, so I got a, an old memory card. I got a pre-DualShock PlayStation 1 controller. That's a trip.
Yeah, right.
Right? And I copied Crash Bandicoot with a buddy, and we just played through the whole thing in one sitting, you know, for a few hours. And it was a lot of fun. Just really enjoyed it. So, to kind of talk about Crash Bandicoot 1 originally, it's so interesting to me because, I mean, that game came out basically around the same exact time as Super Mario 64. Crash Bandicoot came out a year after the PlayStation launch, which works. You kind of almost want to think of it as a launch game, even, you know.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
But it was like one of the... Well, it's kind of like Sonic, because Sonic was not a launch game for the Genesis.
Right.
Well, it was actually almost like 2 years later, I think.
Right, but you associate it so strongly.
With that early period,
well,
right.
And don't forget, this was still the time where, like, what's Sony's mascot? They have to have
yeah,
one.
Yeah, everyone had to have a mascot. Yeah, that was like a big deal back then. So, and it's interesting because Crash Bandicoot is almost, and I brought this point up to you before, it's what you would expect the first breakthrough 3D platformer to be like.
Except it came out 2 years after Mario 64.
No, that came out at the same time. Let me
say. Was this out early?
What?
What?
2 years after, what?
What year did the 96. Game itself? The PlayStation 1 came out in 95, yeah, okay.
What are you thinking?
I don't know, I always think it's later than it was for the PlayStation.
You're funny. You're funny, you're confused. No, yeah, definitely not. So, it came out nice. It came out, like, the same month. It was very close to Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because, again, Crash Bandicoot is what you would expect for that. Because it's basically a 2D platformer with, like, the Z-axis added. Where you can kind of, you know, you have all the directions. But it's basically...
No, the game was almost more about just going, instead of left and right, up and down. Well, with a little bit of left and right thrown in.
I mean, there was that. There was a lot of levels, almost half of them, that are just straight 2D platformers, too. Mm-hmm. And when you're playing... But even when you have, like, those seconds where you go up, down, left, right, it's still the same kind of stuff you're doing in a 2D platformer. Jumping on it. There's really two buttons in the game. There's a jump button and a spin button.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's good, though, because it's just very well designed. It's a very pretty game with its kind of, you know, tiki look to it, and then it kind of slowly turns into this weird, like, evil laboratory stuff that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it definitely worked just from mechanically, but it kind of hurts it that Mario 64 came out. And it's just kind of a testament to that game and how ridiculous it was.
Yeah.
How it wasn't just, like, put Mario in 3D. It was like, it's We have all these weird acrobatic moves and this free camera and this open level design and non-linearity, and it's just like so ridiculously ambitious for what it was. Yeah, it was just ridiculous. So kind of overshadows Crash a little bit, but Crash Bandicoot is still very popular, kind of rightfully so, even though it's relatively simple compared to it. But at the same time, you had this relatively small team at Naughty Dog compared to, you know, Nintendo.
Right, right, right.
Which, you know, Shigeru Miyamoto.
Was that their first game?
No. They had some sort of weird... That wasn't even their first PlayStation game. They had some weird, I think, tank game for the PlayStation.
Oh, I recall
even.
That, yeah.
But they're owned by Universal at this point.
Yeah.
So this is kind of why... Yeah, right. So this is why Universal still owns the rights to Crash Bandicoot and why he stopped being the mascot for Sony and all that stuff. So, Crash Bandicoot's great. If I ask you what's your favorite PlayStation 1 game, what do you say?
Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty good, huh?
It's one of the ones I can think of all the time. I was like, yeah, I beat that one.
And it's like another one that, like... For some reason, all these major PlayStation 1 releases, they're like, they have some sort of Nintendo 64 mirror, because that was like, again, that same month, Ocarina of Time came out.
Yeah.
Can you...
Which...
That was 98.
Never beat Ocarina of Time, but I did beat Metal Gear Solid, yeah, so huh.
Metal Gear Solid was so great at the time. I mean, I can still play that game now and enjoy it, really.
Yeah, it's remarkable, because, I mean, part of the problem with the PlayStation 1 in general is a lot of its games don't hold up, because the graphics just weren't ready. Like...
I mean, to me, it's also not even graphics for me. It's just kind of like the... We haven't finessed some right. of the design
but
of 3D gaming.
Metal Gear was just... It was smart in the way it worked around limitations. I mean, you realize in that game, like, characters' mouths didn't move.
Sure.
But, like, you didn't really notice right. or care.
But going back to mechanics... I mean, mechanically, the game played very similar to what the other Metal Gears were like.
Uh-huh.
Really. So, you already have a system that kind of works. You almost didn't need to translate into 3D that much. Especially that one, it didn't have, you know, stuff like first-person shooting, even.
Yeah,
that's
a big deal about the Twin
right.
Snakes remake.
Yeah, yeah, like the fixed camera and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
the only
yeah.
time the camera changed when you pushed up against the wall.
Right. It's just kind of like, we're just bumping up the production values. I mean, that was it. That was, like, the first time people were throwing out the word production values, I think, a lot. And a video game was just, like, ridiculous, you know. That kind of movie quality stuff. How about the Final Fantasies? I mean, Final Fantasy VII was, like, a phenomenon
oh, sure.
at the time. It was kind of like, it was just like kind of an exciting thing, right? Everybody was playing it. Not everybody would beat it. We did
yeah.
it when we were kids. Everybody
well,
played it.
You know what happened to me with that game when I was playing it as a kid? I had one of those PlayStation memory cards that had like multiple pages with like a switch. Do you remember these?
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
and
they
were notoriously faulty. And wouldn't you know it, mine died when I was like, I think it was not long before Ares got killed. And like I wasn't going to play it all again. Yeah. So I just never finished it.
Man. When I went back and, like, finally played all those games, I played the original PlayStation 1 versions, but, like, on my PlayStation 3, because I had that 60-gigabyte awesome thing that could play all those games.
Well, that PlayStation 3 right there could still play PS1 games.
What? Really?
Yeah, PS1 backwards compatibility never went away.
Really? I didn't know that. That's
yeah, you could have put Crash Bandicoot in there.
I almost don't believe you.
I'll show you.
I'll try it later.
Okay.
All right. It's interesting. Nah, it's fun to have the original.
Well, sure.
I think, you know, I still feel about those. I think Final Fantasy IX was the best of those. But, you know, so PlayStation 1 has a pretty strong JRPG lineage.
Yeah.
Probably the strongest, honestly.
Yeah, you had Wild Arms.
Oh, yeah, Wild Arms. You had the Suikodens. You had Breath of Fire games. You had Legend of Dragoon, Chrono Cross. Just, you know, so many things I'm probably even forgetting. Just tons and tons of great JRPGs for it. So it kind of, that kind of was a high point.
Well, it was interesting, because, like, for a lot of those games, they jump ship from Super Nintendo to PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I think it was a matter of storage.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, because some of them are almost, they still kind of pixel-based. They're almost kind of just like a carryover from the 16-bit era, which was a great era for JRPGs, too. And then you have, like, this Final Fantasy VII, and, like, that's kind of stuff happening.
That's why, like, Wild Arms drives me nuts. I think that game looks great when you're, like, in the world map, because it is, like, just nice pixels.
Like,
then you get into the battles, and it's like, ugh.
That was, like, super early. That was, like, almost launch time, I think.
Yeah.
Around there. But, yeah, the JRPG. Final Fantasy IX is still probably my favorite of those. Suikoden 2 is pretty great. See, a lot of those I actually play just, like, on my Vita.
Mm-hmm.
JRPGs are just, they're nice to play portably. It's nice to
right.
do that kind of wherever, in bed, you know, put the home screen button. You don't have to, like, wait for your save point and all that stuff. Kind of a lot of, like, I don't know if arcadey is the word, but, like, a lot of games that are kind of, not, like, campaign-based that were kind of a big deal there.
Like Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal is actually one of the first, because I was thinking about this, for only about a year, remember how the packaging was that tall box?
Yeah, like the Saturn box.
Right, and, like, I'm trying to think, like, what games actually mattered that came out in that packaging? And, like, Twisted Metal 1's one of the few that I can actually think of.
Yeah, there's a lot of, well...
I mean, there's, like, the launch games that you remember, like... Battle Arena Toshinden and stuff like that. But
when did Tomb Raider come out? Was that a tall box game?
I don't know if it was, to be honest. I think Tomb Raider was 97. I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think Tomb Raider was a tall box. We have that on
the Saturn, so.
Right. Tomb Raider, I don't know. I had to try. I do not think those original Tomb Raider games
were No.
I don't think. And again, it's not the graphic. It's just that very kind of... Same thing kind of like... Resident, like playing the original Resident Evil 1.
Yeah, those weird tank controls. Right? Like, this is how 2. We move in 3D.
Like, oh, yeah, like maybe, I don't know.
You walk forward and you turn.
It's not the graphics, it's kind of mechanical stuff. Yeah. Again, when I played Crash Bandicoot, completely fine with that. Yeah. That was great.
Honestly, one of the biggest games to come out we didn't talk about was Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Right, which it's interesting because at the time everybody, you know, liked it. A little bit later where I think everyone's like, yeah, that was one of the best PlayStation 1 games.
Yeah.
Because we were kind of at that time where. You know, there's such a hunger for 3D gaming that a lot of people were like, well, why isn't this a 3D game, you know?
Yeah.
And now we're just like, oh, it's like, better 2D, who cares?
Yeah, this is way better than it would have been if they tried to do anything 3D.
Yeah, from a quality standpoint, easily one of the best games. And it's interesting because they made a lot more like that, and they're all very good. I don't think any of them were as good as Castlevania of the Night.
No.
Castlevania of the Night. Symphony of the Night. Right.
Also, Final Fantasy Tactics, which I think deserves some mention.
Well, it's kind of like, again, that JRPG kind of spot.
What else? Like, I'm trying to think what other games that even...
Then you had the franchises trying to do 3D there that were, you know...
Bubsy 3D.
Bubsy 3D, oh my god.
What could possibly go wrong?
We had that game.
We did.
That game stuff like...
Oh, what was the one? Blasto!
Yeah,
that was a great game. That was a really good game.
I don't know how
great
it was.
At the time, I thought it was really great. I liked that game a lot.
The Dex. You know, you had the 3D Mega Man game and stuff. Like, you know, we said before about it.
Mega Man Legends.
It's all right. I feel about Mega Man. It's okay. I actually kind of almost want to play it again, see if I maybe like it more.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a fun time, because it really was the Wild West of game design. In a way that it will never be again,
almost. Yeah, there'll never be, like, a leap like that. Right. Where you might argue VR,
then, like, the game archetypes are still kind of the same, in a way. It's just not quite as exciting when...
Yeah, it's hard to invent genres anymore.
Right. It is a shame how many of those series just, like, kind of aren't around anymore. Like a Jet Moto, right?
Oh, Jet Moto was awesome.
There's a fun one.
God, remember, didn't Jet Moto 2 just, like, have a cheat code that just unlocked all the maps from Jet Moto 1?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was great.
Jet Moto. It is strange how Crash Bandicoot kind of stopped being a thing for a bit. It seems like he's on this verge of, like, kind of comeback, but you're still
waiting. Well, they're putting him in Skylanders. Isn't he getting his own game again?
No, they're making each day HD versions of the original 3D.
That's right.
But you still, like, you're kind of waiting for, like, that shoe to drop where it's like, hey, Naughty Dog's making a new Crash Bandicoot for PlayStation 4.
That'd be crazy. It'd
be great. I would love that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who knows? Things have to kind of fall into place.
Featuring Nolan North as the voice of Crash Bandicoot.
I don't know if Crash Bandicoot needs to talk. Let's just not make that.
Let's take a look in the motion capture studio.
There's so many Crash Bandicoot. He's spinning around. There's so many Crash Bandicoot games that, like, came out after that trilogy that I just never played.
That was, like, because they weren't the Naughty Dog ones.
But yeah.
They were just, like, these weird
PS2
games.
But you almost wonder, like, how bad could they be? Because, like I said, the Crash games are simple in a way.
Right. Like you said, because of that, the level design was very important. If you screw that up.
And the games that were actually more like Super Mario 64 were the Spyro games, which were very good, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was Insomnia.
Except every dragon in that game was like, you may ask me one question, Spyro. Think hard. What's the secret to finally burning metal? You can't.
Every time. Like, look, you can't burn metal.
Quit asking that. Just you head bash it. It's fine.
That was a fun speedrun. Watch the Spyro speedrun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Ape Escape speedrun. There's another one. The DualShock.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. This was like the birth of two analog sticks.
Right? The birth of two. And like we had that. And like that's funny how when you think of two analog sticks, you're like, first person shooters, finally. But the game that like showed that off was some weird game where you went around capturing monkeys.
Monkeys two at a time.
It was a fun game.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And also Parappa the Rappa.
Parappa the Rappa.
This is when, like... Because in my head, rhythm games weren't really a thing until this era, right?
Oh, we had Guitar Freaks on our PlayStation. Right. We had to... What was the trick to play an import? You had to, like...
You had to get a Game Shark, and you had to do something with the spring.
The spring and the disc loader,
complicated.
Yeah, we did it, though.
Yeah, but... I mean... I'm sure maybe there were, but at least in the West, I don't remember like rhythm games being a thing in the 16-bit era.
No, and we had our DDR.
I'm pretty
pads.
Sure like the first one of that I saw that I was like, oh, this is a game where you tap buttons and time to the music was Parappa. I'm sure maybe there was something first. That was like the first one I was really aware of.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought like, oh, this is cool. So yeah, so it plays to one kind of interesting legacy. Again, there's like there's a lot of these important games and franchises, some of them that are kind of just become better on the PlayStation 2. I think that's kind of the thing, is the PlayStation 2 is so good, I think it overshadows the PlayStation 1 in some ways. But yeah, it definitely was a fun system, and it's cool. I think it's a lot. I know there's some people that will say, like, oh, I can't even handle those graphics anymore. I think it's still pretty fun to go back and play a lot of these
games. We're almost getting far away enough now that it's become quaint. You know what I mean?
I guess, yeah, I know what you
like
mean.
Like, the indie games are starting to use that art style.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
when
you know.
It is funny, yeah. Because, you know, indie games are always using, like, the 8-bit or 16-bit. Now we actually do see one, like, look, it looks like a PlayStation 1 game.
Yeah, right.
All
right. Okay.
Fun for fun.
Cool. All
right.
You know, it doesn't look like a PlayStation 1 game?
Forza is very pretty.
Oh, man, it's gorgeous. I've been mostly playing on my PC. I found if I could go ultra settings at the lock 30 frames, or I could kind of do like a modified version of high and get 60. So I kind of go back and forth. I don't know what I like better. Because the game has a really good motion blur to it. So even at 30 frames, it still feels fast, which is good.
It's just the environment is very great. The Australian setting's very smart.
Yeah, very, very smart. So it's incredible just how this is like all the racing games I love shoved into one. It's like part Forza and a lot of Burnout with a little bit of, very little bit of, like, split second when you're, like, racing a helicopter, towing a Jeep and stuff like that. And, like, it's so fun to play. They just really hit this magic formula that's really
I think it's a very good game. It's just, I'm just so not sure if it's exactly a game I want to play a lot, because at the end of the day, I don't really like that kind of racing that much. And that's kind of the thing I would miss from a Burnout is how it is that sort of, like, you know, crash into the person, make him hit a car. And, like, to me, that's kind of a bit more fun than, like trying to, like, you know, like, find out when you can pass this person and this kind of stuff.
I don't know. See,
and that stuff, I mean, I get why people like that stuff more, but that's just not my thing.
I find myself, like, constantly having to actually turn up the difficulty. Because the problem is, like, every race I've done so far, once I get in first place, I don't lose first place. Yeah. And I just win by a large margin.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the actual racing is like the least compelling thing to me. Like even just like driving around exploring, that seems kind of fun to me.
Yeah, but the point I was gonna make is before that point, when I'm trying to get to first, it's really fun because like trying to make those passes, I think is super cool in the game. You and Chris were both shocked to hear that I play in cockpit view.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's so fun to me.
Whatever.
It just looks so good, just because like it's all so well detailed and everything.
I can never play my racing.
It's great, like when it starts raining and the windshield wipers are on.
Right. See,
it really makes me wish it worked in VR.
Yeah. When I'm actually like racing, I need like that sort of like split second or Mario Kart stuff to keep me a little bit more interested in it. Like even like the drifting mechanics in Mario Kart. I don't know. But again, it's like I could almost want to buy it just because it's so pretty to kind of just drive around, even like some of the other stuff, like the you know, just doing a jump or
yeah. Well, and this game too is where the drivatar thing is so smart because just when you're driving around the world, you'll see your friends' drivatars. So it's like you know it's not actually them.
That's kind of neat,
but it almost feels like this online connected thing when you're doing that.
Yeah. No, I think it's pretty
smart. Yeah, you take things personally when like the drivatar of a friend does something to you. You're like you don't say oh AI. You go like oh, that Jeff Grubb,
he did it. I always did like the customization stuff in those games. I don't really know if that's in the demo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, demo, I don't know.
I know it's in the game, but that stuff I always kind of like. I just kind of like personalizing your car and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a great video. Some guy took like this weird little smart car and painted it into a Pikachu.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I mean, this stuff is definitely way more interesting to me than just playing like Forza 7. Or,
yeah.
You know, like I would definitely be more into this, I think. But again, it's just, I don't know. It's so much anymore. I'm kind of just. I play these things. Although I beat the new Phoenix Wright last night.
That's good.
So that was fun. That was those games. I mean, those games are kind of an interesting spot because, like, they, you know, there's a formula in place at this point, but they're all very good still. They're fun. And the way they're much more like traditional adventure games than, like, what are the popular adventure games these days, like the Telltale things, which I can't really get into.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're still very story heavy, there's puzzles and inventory management and stuff like that almost, you know?
Right.
So I enjoy them. Plus, at this point, there's just investment with the characters, so...
Well, sure. This is, what, the seventh one?
Yeah. Yes. Wait, it might be the sixth one, but it's, like, confusing, because, like, there's those two Miles Edwards games, one of which came here. Mm-hmm. Then they made that one that was, like, the same style as these, but, like, starring...
In the past or
something? Yeah, that they did not release over here, and it was, like, Sherlock Holmes or something. But, like... Also, Phoenix Wright's ancestor, I don't know. But yeah, I would like to play that. Someday fans will translate that stuff.
Yep, get that ROM.
Yeah. So yeah.
Also, how good is the end game in World of Warcraft?
It's great.
It's the so world quest. Smart.
Good to be raiding against
so
tonight.
Smart.
Oh, the mythic dungeons are a lot of fun.
I haven't gotten to that point yet.
This is I'm pretty sure this is the best expansion they've made, at least far. I mean, you kind of need to see where some of the other patches go. That was a problem with Draenor, was that the patch content was just not something.
I'm very curious to see how Karazhan goes once that comes
That'll
out.
That'll be fun.
That'll be huge, I think. Is that a 10-man thing or 5?
It's a 5-man dungeon.
It's five. Wow.
It's a 5-man. It's like supposed to be like a super dungeon.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Mm-hmm.
All right, then.
So good.
Well, let's go try going again today. All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and the Google Play Store. Leave us reviews. We appreciate that. And thanks for listening. We'll be here next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.